through Acts this morning, but I do want to start this with understanding that this is the first Sunday of the year, just in case you didn't know that. But when we come to the first Sunday of the year, it's always a, man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I'm excited about all that God's going to do. And, you know, I'm going to be so much stronger in my spiritual walk this year. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. I'm going to do all these things for God. And then life hits, and we begin to sometimes wonder whether we're going to accomplish what we set out to. But you know, one of the greatest things we need to realize, and it's how I'm going to tie this into the first Sunday message when we sort of left Paul about a month ago in our studies, we left him in a very peculiar situation. If you can remember where we ended, if you turn in your Bibles to Acts 22, we will see in chapter 21, looking at verse 36, it explains very well where Paul's at. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." And remember, Paul was in the synagogue, or he's in the temple, and then he was taken out of, accused of, and now they're going to simply, they're going to go after him. And so at this point, and we see that crying out in Acts 21:36, it was the same cry that they did against Christ. Away with him. So Paul's in a situation right now, and we find him being helped by the Romans. He is now being escorted up into a stage area or up into their place for protection. And he asks them a question, and he asked them, as we see in verse 37, and as Paul was being led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" And then he said, "Who said, canst thou speak Greek?" And he questioned him, "And thou art thou from Egypt, Egyptian, and which before these days manifest an uproar, and laid list out into wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers." And Paul said, "I am a man, I am a Jew of Tarsus, the city of Sicily. I am a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spoke unto them in a Hebrew tongue, saying. And I want to pause there for a minute, because you got to get this picture of what's going on in your mind. Paul has just been beaten. He's been sought after. They were going to kill him unless the Roman soldiers stepped in and brought him off. And so this big uproar, is being accused of being another person of another party, which he wasn't. And now he's asking, "Can I turn around and speak to these people who just tried to kill me?" Because, you know, we're going to enter into a new year, and we're going to enter into a new whole circumstance of whatever that might be. And we talked about last week about, you know, don't try not to carry anything from 2019 over, because 2020 has enough of its own deal. You know, settle things, get things accomplished. And after I was done speaking, and I was thinking through what I was saying and all that was going on, and I thought, you know, the only thing that I can think of, there are some individuals who are going to carry things over because they have to. Maybe it's an illness, maybe it's a situation that just doesn't have a time limit to it yet. And so you're carrying it over into 2019, and I want to encourage you not to carry over the attitude you had about it in 2019. Carry over a new attitude. A lot of things have happened to us in the last year. A lot of new things are going to take its place. But sometimes we also carry over the baggage of attitudes and the baggage of disappointments and the baggage of fearfulness. And just, we just don't need to carry those through, because we will pick them up for sure on our own in this year ahead. So I thought, what a better study to have this morning, realizing, Paul, we went from 2019 to 2020. Paul's still standing on the same steps, and he still wants to talk to the same people. He still wants to give them a message of redemption. Because Paul now is going to have a defense, and that's what we want to study this morning. What was Paul's greatest defense to this mob who cried away with him, basically wanted to kill him? and be done with him and simply have nothing to do with him at all. And we see that, and we know that. Let me see here. I'm getting things messed up on my deal. But anyway, Paul defends, okay? And he's going to defend it in three ways. First of all, he is going to defend it, his life before his conversion. Then he's going to defend it basically in his conversion himself. And then the third one is going to be the commission of his ministry. So in chapters 22, we're going to go through the whole chapter today. Yeah, we can make it. We're going to get through this chapter. We may go through it a little bit quicker than other times, but as we look at this, let me get one more click on here. There we go. As we look at this, we need to understand in his commission, that's what he's fulfilling. Paul is on these steps. Paul is here because of Christ giving him a commission to do for the rest of his life. And you know, sometimes you will be where you are because you're doing what God has asked you to do. And it makes absolutely no sense. It makes absolutely, God, if you called me, asked me, God, you brought me to here, and now this? Why is this involved? Listen, I was told many days ago that multitasking is not for everyone. You know, you met them people who can't walk and chew gum at the same time. But multitasking is a thing that I'm trying to learn. And you know what I found out about multitasking? I just misplace more things. Anyway, it just doesn't work. I try. You just mess up more things. But you know, we have serve a God who multitasks to an unbelievable degree. And just because we find Paul on these stairs with a mob crying, kill him, away with him, and we, you know, he needed actually help getting up the stairs. He was beaten. And yet he wants to talk to them. We in our own lives will many times find ourselves questioning at times, God, why is this? And yet God's doing an amazing thing back here. God's doing something to the people around you. God's doing something to the people you're going to meet because of. God's doing something. Listen, God is always doing something. And whatever he does, according to scriptures, Romans 8:28 says that he's doing it for our good, even though the good is not felt or seen in the moment. You know, for our good, to be more Christ-like is the goal. And so don't be weary, scripture says, in well-doing. Do what God has called you, ask you, continue to be a part of that process. And there are going to be days where you're going to be like Paul today, standing there just not understanding why the beating. But Paul uses the opportunity. And as we study this through, we'll see how much and how important I think in Paul's life it really was great, and it affected the multitude in a great way. So let's look at this. First of all, his life before his conversion. The first thing we see in chapter 22, Paul begins to address them in verse 1. Men and brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue, to them they kept the more silent as he said it. You see, this is something that they were surprised that a dispersed Jew, which that's what Paul was, would have known the Hebrew Aramaic language. So in that language, he began to address them. Now you see, prior to that, they were talking about the Greek language, you know, Greek. And so Paul was bilingual, and he was able to speak to the crowd, and he was able to talk to them in their own language. It got their attention. And so there are things in your life that you are going to be going through that is going to get the attention of people on how you respond. How you respond to them in the moment is going to get their attention, or it's going to turn them further away. And we find Paul already beginning, just by speaking their language, begins to get their attention. So the second verse, and when they had heard that he spoke the Hebrew tongue, very important. Because when we see what we want to look at is his credentials. How did Paul defend himself before his conversion? He talks about his credentials. First thing we see is he spoke in their language. The next thing we see, verse 3, and I'm verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, the city of Sicily, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law and the fathers, and was zealous towards God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. So we find Paul, he now begins to talk about who he was. He now begins to talk about prior to his conversion. And he does it by speaking their language. The second thing we see is that he was born or brought up in Jerusalem. Remember, that's where he's at. He's in Jerusalem. This all took place in Jerusalem. So he's saying, I was brought up here. And then as we know that he was brought up, he was taught the language. He was taught well. And also we find that the third thing was, is that he was committed to the law. We know him as Saul, committed very strongly to the letter of the law. He was a Sanhedrin. He was studied. He knew the law probably better than most. And so he gets the interest of the crowd by speaking their language. He begins to tell them, listen, here's who I am. I was brought up in this city, and who he was brought up by. And then the fourth thing we see is that he was zealous also for God, stamping out the Christianity. And that's what he says in verse 4. I persecuted the way. When you go back and you do a study and you look at the concept of the way, back in Acts chapter 8, you know Stephen was part of the way, and he was there at the persecution. So the way, as Paul refers it to, is Paul is saying the way of Christianity. And Paul says at this point in his life, he was still Saul before the conversion, but he's telling them, this is who I was. This is what I did. You all knew me. You knew how much, because remember, their accusation against him was that he brought in Gentiles to the inner part of the temple. And it was just assumed. We talked all about how healthy it is to assume, right? Making sure y'all listen. It is not healthy to assume anything. So they saw him walking with Gentiles in the city and assumed he took them to the inner courts. Broke the law according to the temple. Sign on that 2 or 3 foot fence right there that separates the wall says if you follow in further than you're allowed, basically the Romans allow you to be killed. That's why Paul was on the steps. That's why he got beaten. And so he's breaking the law. Now he's saying, listen, I was zealous for the law of God. I did some very bad things because of the law. And because of that, we find Paul now saying, listen, this is who I was. This is how you knew me to be. But something happened. And we also know what happened was the fact that his conversion is what took place. So when we go down further, we see in verse 5, and also the high priest doth bear witness of me and the estate of the elders, from whom I also received the letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them where they bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And then something happened. And then it was an amazing thing that what happened. Because when we see this and we understand his conversion is coming, one of the greatest things that we find out about Paul now is something changed. And I want you to know, Paul was so zealous for God the wrong way that it took an unbelievable divine act of God to change him. Does that resemble anybody in here today? Anybody got that little strong will thing going on? I think every one of us here today that can claim Christ as their Savior can say it took a divine act of God to change my heart and get me a different will and look at things differently in life. And it's the same God. He does it for all of us. So that's what's going to happen when we see his conversion. First of all, we're going to see it in two ways. The present. Paul talks about what happened in the present, because in verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and would come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone a heaven, a great light around about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he's repeating what actually happened back in Acts chapter 9. And we've studied through this and we've seen this. But I want to bring back some of the things. First thing, in the present. And when I say in the present, listen, the moment you were saved, the moment that you knew that no matter how good of a person you were, no matter how well you were a morally correct, or even by the law of the land you are doing well, you've realized that I need Christ simply because I'm a sinner by birth. It's not by what we do or don't do that either keeps us in or gets us out. It's a simple fact that we're already out and we need Christ as our personal Savior. We are born that way. And I'll tell you, all you have to do is just look around our world. We are now seeing the ripple effects of the depravity of man's mind, coming up with whatever it takes to win. And it's not a pretty picture at times. And we are seeing it in high tensions and high alert, even today, on some of the things. The retaliation has already begun from Iran. And it's just gonna escalate to a point where somebody's either gonna say stop, or the Lord's gonna blow his trumpet. And I sure hope he blows the trumpet before somebody gets too close. Because listen, we are therefore under no condemnation, and we studied that verse downstairs this morning. We are no longer under condemnation of the sinful nature in the future. But I'm convinced that you and I are going to go through some things. We're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through, listen, some of the trials that we face today are nothing compared to what it could be and will be if the grace of God decides to go further away from America. Don't think just because you're saved and that verse says I'm not going to be in any trouble. We're going to go through some things. I truly believe God is going to sift out those who are and those who claim to be his children. And his children are going to have events like Paul is having right now in their life. And Paul is, what was his response? Would you respond this way? Do you realize that he is beginning to tell them the redemptive story in his defense? He's beginning to tell them about Christ so that they can change their lives and not go to hell? Would you do that for somebody who just beat the snot out of you? Paul shows the unbelievable, unconditional love of Christ, because the love of Christ is about to be shown to Paul. Listen, if you're here today and you've got that love of Christ in you, if Christ loved you enough to save you, you should be showing that love to everybody around you, because that's what makes the difference. Paul made a great difference. And first thing we find in this present state is that he was called by name. Saul, Saul. There was other men in that group, right? There were other people in that group. In fact, we'll see in verse 8, and I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, who thou persecutest. And when they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. He specifically said, Saul, Saul. Has your name been called like that? Mine has. I am so grateful. I am so grateful that he called my name. It scares me when he calls me now, because he's going to ask me to do something I'm not sure I'm going to be ready for. But man, when you are a sinner and he calls your name, oh my goodness, man, nobody else in that group, they saw the light, didn't hear the voice. Listen, at the present moment when Christ comes, he calls your name. That is huge. That is exciting. Man, we need to get some more fire going in here or something. He calls your name, he by person. Isaiah 42:10 says, do not fear. I am whose? I am God's. I have been called. I am his. I am redeemed. I'm one of his children. Man, when you're called, that's an exciting moment. And basically, that's the only reason why Paul could stand where he is right now. Because he was called by God. You see, that's the only reason you and I are going to be able to get back up sometime this year. That's the only reason why you guys are going to be able to stand up when everything around you kicks you down. That's when we're going to be able to smile when the whole world says don't. You see, when life begins to affect us, how we respond is going to be determined whether we've been called by God or not. Because you see a whole world responding in the world's way. But you see Paul responding by trying to give them Christ. And that speaks volumes to me. I don't know what God has planned this year. All I know is I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to go through it. Some of us, reality, this may be our last year on earth. This may be our last Sunday. This may be it. Y'all ain't happy to go or what? Absolutely, man, yoo-hoo, I'm ready, man. I'm going to tell on us. Kim says, listen, every time you tell the church people that you're ready to go to heaven, they probably think it's because you're married to me. No, that's not true. Had to throw that in there. That's not true. But you know, when we see what we have and what we're living through and yet what's to come, you can't help but get excited about what's coming. Not so much maybe what we'll go through, but where we finalize our home. Man, it's going to be so much greater. Paul is on the steps. He was called by name. Very, very important. In the present, the second thing, Christ identified himself with Christianity. He says in verse 8, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Paul never did it to him, did he? But he did it to his people. He did it to his cause. He did it to his redemptive story. Christ identified with Christianity. Does your Christian life identify with Christ? Christ said, hey, it's me. You're persecuting me because these are my people. These are my children. As his children, could they say he is our father? Are we identifying with him as he just identified with us? See, that's a challenge. In Paul's life in that moment, I believe he was. The third thing we see is that he surrendered. Basically, he surrendered two things, and interesting enough, his heart and his will. Because the only reason why you and I can walk away changed and different is in that moment when our name is called, we surrender our heart. Because at the moment, it is sinful, it is ugly, it is not right. We surrender that heart, and guess what? Scripture says God makes it white as snow. I love the wintertime because of that. Yeah, I get one guy agreeing with me. Because when we look at outside, and you know, it covers up a lot. Every time you see a snowstorm, you ought to be thanking God that he's covered your mess up. He's covered your bad decisions up. Now, maybe you'll make more bad decisions and drive in it, then you have to get covered again. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, this is a special moment. And Paul has been beaten. He can barely stand. He's turning and talking to the people. They quiet. And he says, you knew who I was before I was saved. But I want to tell you what happened to me. This is what happened to him. He basically surrendered his heart and he surrendered his will. That's what makes a difference in our life. The next thing we see in the future, basically dealing with Paul's ministry, Christ says in verse 10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee to do. First thing we realize, you shall be told. Listen, one of the saddest things is that Paul would have stayed in Damascus. I'm saved, and I just want to tell everybody here about it, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to love my God here, and I'm just going to be here. No, God said, you will be told. You will be told. And I think all of us have been told something. Or every day we may be told a new thing on what God wants for us in that day. And what God wants for us to do. If God gave us too big of a picture, we would recolor it. If God gave us too much information too soon, we would try to arrange it in our schedule, not his. And so God gives us what we need when we need it. At the moment we need it. And so when we realize that, he said, you shall be told. The second thing that is in the future is Ananias was God's mouthpiece. We see that as he begins to continue down in verse 11. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our father has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, see that one just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witnesses unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Paul, you're going to be told. And here's what Paul's told. First of all, Ananias was God's mouthpiece. Paul's now told, Paul, you're going to be my mouthpiece. And how many of us realize that God had saved us just maybe to be his mouthpiece? Maybe God's not going to call you to be a missionary or be a full-time pastor or be in the full-time work of ministry. Listen, that's okay. Trust me, that is okay. But God has called every one of us to be a mouthpiece. And here's what we are to do with the mouthpiece that he's given us. Back into verse 14 and 15. He said, know his will. That's the first thing. The second thing we see, and see the just one. You and I will not have that privilege to see him physically with our eyes. But how many times last year did you know his presence was there? I've seen the hand of God do some amazing things. I've seen him do some amazing things in my life. I've seen him do amazing things in many individuals' lives that I'm excited about. Man, when I see someone who just comes out of the miry clay and gets saved by God and their whole life is messed up, but they're still trusting God through it, and we talk about the ripples that you lose on their bad choices, man, it is a joy to see some of them ripples come back together. Only by the grace of God. You see, God is saying you've got a mouthpiece. You may not see him with your eyes physically, but you'll know, you'll see and understand the presence of our God. The next thing we find, should hear the voice of his mouth. How do we hear the voice of God? Any clues? I'm trying to give you one. Okay? Yes. Through his word. We hear the word of God. We hear his voice because this is what it is. It is the all-inspired, no errors word of God. And it is good for you and I to understand it because it will do everything in our life to fix us, to draw us closer to him. So, the word of God is very important. Paul says, Ananias told Paul at this moment that you'll know his will, you'll see him, you'll hear his voice. Verse 15, thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Paul, I just want you to go tell everybody about what I've done to you and for you. Is that not what he was doing on the steps to the people? He began telling them, listen, you know who I was, but this amazing, unbelievable, divine intervention of God happened to me, and he has asked me to do something. What does he ask him to do? We find the third area in this. Basically, the area part of that, his commission comes in three parts. The first part we'll see as we go down, and we're gonna jump all the way down. Let's look at verse 18. And saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. This is a very important verse because Paul just got the word from God that he was going to be a mouthpiece for him. He's in Damascus, and again, he's looking at, again, quickly out of Jerusalem. Paul was there, and he said, listen, they're not going to understand you, Paul. They're not going to get you. You got to go. And so realizing this concept that we need to realize, he then says in verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Very first time that we understand the message is going to go to the Gentiles is in Acts chapter 9 at Paul's conversion. And he's now standing in front of all these people and he's sharing it over again. He's telling them his life story. Y'all have a life story? Y'all got a conversion testimony? Listen, God just may put you in a place that you don't agree with to tell it. this coming year.
Tell the story. That's why you may be there, just to tell the story. And it's enough, isn't it? Man, when God gives us opportunity to share Christ, we ought to be thankful that he's paying attention and caring about us enough to use us that way. So we find Paul in the same predicament. First thing, and the first way we understand it, when it says depart or go. Christ told him, depart to go. Some of us may have to go. Some of us may have to go to across the street. Some of us may have to go to that person that, oh, you know, really edges us a little bit. Some of us may have to go to that event. The greatest thing about God and what he's asking of us is we know God is going with us. We know God has called us to do these things. He's going to qualify the call, not call the qualified. So all of us are able to go. And he's going to maybe tell you to go. Listen, when God stirs your heart to go talk to somebody, to send someone a note, encouraging note, just to go. See how many times, and think through, how many times last year did you not go when God stirred you to go? Or you just maybe delayed it enough that it didn't work and thought, oh, I was going to, but I missed it. You know, that's really probably one of the ways we manipulate God's calling is, God, I'm going to go. I want to go. I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to do. But I got to do. I'm responsible. I missed the opportunity. Sorry, God. And when God stirs, sometimes God says, you go now. Go when I ask you. First thing we find is Paul's commission to ministry. At the moment, he was to find all those things out. In the future, or going on in his ministry, was depart. Next thing we find, it says, I will send. We've got to make sure we got the right calling. We've got to make sure God is the one sending us. God is asking us to go accomplish things. Sometimes we want to go on our own. Sometimes, and listen, this could be as simple as singing a song, preaching a message, to sharing Christ to your neighbor, to the people in the workplace, wherever God has given you a platform. Wherever God has given you the opportunity to share the redemptive story, God will call you, tell you to go. He'll send you there. And the third thing we realize is that he is saying simply unto the Gentiles. This was Paul's specific ministry call. The first two go for you and I too. Third one may not. We may not be called to go to the Gentiles, even though we live among all of the Gentiles. So when we do go to somebody, it probably is a Gentile. But this was Paul specific, and I want to point this out very clear in verse 21. Paul, you will be told. He's now been told all that he's going to get. He's now told to go. He's told God, saying, I will send you, and here's where I'm going to send you. You're going to go out to the Gentiles. Now back in Acts chapter 9, that was a new thing. That was an unheard of thing. Paul is still in the steps, still trying to talk to the people around him. So when we see this, we need to realize, what did it do to the audience? What did it do to the people that Paul was talking with? Well, there is no verse 22. There is, but it's not in the same context. It doesn't say. But I'm going to tell you what it didn't do. It didn't rile them up to cry away with him. It didn't cause them to stampede and take hold of him. I think everything Paul said was a reminder to them, and God used it to quiet their hearts. Do you realize the impact that you and I can have in this crazy world we live? If we just share the redemptive story, if we just talk about what God has done. Listen, people know who you've been. A lot of people around you know all that you've done. But man, tell them what happened to make you do, looking at me now, watch me now, see the difference. So when we look at this, our takeaway this morning with all of this, first of all, use your past to identify with those who are still there. Don't forget about where you come from. Because when you forget about where you come from, you know what happens? You don't appreciate where you are. You don't thank God every day for bringing you around to something else. Use your past to identify with those. That's what Paul did, didn't he?
Paul said before his conversion, I was zealous for the law. And in that same text, he says, just like you all are now. Paul says, I'm identifying with you how I used to be. And then I'm going to tell you what happened to me that now tells a different story. Identify. Let your past identify with them. Don't let your past identify you. Let your past identify with them who are still there, stuck, needing Christ. The second thing we pull out of this, God will soften the heart and change the will. God alone. Paul never would have changed his story. Paul never would have changed anything if it would not have been for the divine, unbelievable encounter of God. Period. And the same is true for you and me. The same is true every time we see our God. The third thing we see here is the present salvation will always lead to a future ministry. God never wants you to stay where he found you. You are always to be going. God's going to call you, right? God's going to send you. God's going to move you. We got to move. And I'm not talking a physical address move at times. Sometimes it's just simply to say hi to somebody. Sometimes encourage somebody. Sometimes it's just to send somebody an encouraging text with a verse and say, hey, you know, this really meant a lot to me today. And I don't know why, but your name is where it's going. And you know, that person on the other end may have an unbelievable day, and that just is what they needed to be able to put a smile back on their face. You think God can orchestrate that? Every day, every moment of the day, your present salvation will lead you to a future ministry. It's exactly what we've seen in Paul's life. So here's a little bit of a last slide that I want to show you this morning. Thought it pretty interesting. Acts 22, God says, go, I will send. Question mark is, where are you going? Paul's, you're going to the Gentiles. Where are you going today? Has God stirred you to go talk to, has God stirred you to do some kind of a new ministry in this year ahead? Has God sort of propped you a little bit to say, you know what? There are things, and the one announcement that Jim overlooked today, nothing against Jim. It's there for you to read. Please read, okay? We don't want to think your reading ability is not able. But are you eager to serve? You want to do some things in the church? Come talk to me. I've got a list. I'm telling you what, I guarantee you, God says go, God says I will send. The question mark is, where is he asking you to go? He's asking you somewhere. God's not going to leave you where he found you. God's going to move you somewhere. God's going to stir you up to go and do. Where is it? See, that's the question I want to leave you with this morning. Paul was able to do what he did on those steps. And we're going to see as we continue to study that he's going to go and do it to other people too. He's going to go tell the story again. Because listen, there is no other greater story to tell than what God has done in you and done through you to a world who has no hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, I pray as we study this together this morning, as we understand it to the best of our abilities, that we look at it in a way of, God, you are wanting each of us. It's not about one person over the other. It's not about one having more faith than the other. It's about a simple obedience to you. God, I pray that as we look at our lives of the year of 2019, and Lord, we no doubt have to carry some things over, but Father, many of the things that we leave on that threshold of a new year, and God, we're starting it out very well. We're here, first Sunday. And God, I pray that we really search every day we wake up. God, today, where are you going to send me? Today, who am I going to talk to? God, today, what possibly doctor needs to hear about you because my tests require me to go see him? God, what person needs to hear the redemptive story today? And God, I pray that we are excited about the opportunities that you will give, and we will continue to look for them every day. God, I just pray if anyone is here today who hears this before conversion and hears what the divine intervention did in Paul's life, and can sit and say, I've never had that. I've never had that conversion in my life. I've never had that experience where I've given and surrendered my heart and my will to God. God, today, may they start this year off with a new outlook, with a new purpose. May today be the day that they ask the question, how? How do I get what Christ came to give? And Father, for all of us here today, I pray it encourages us, strengthens us, because we do not know what this year may hold. We don't know what the day holds. But yet, God, we know that you hold today. And Father, may we just rest in faithful trust in that. And God, we thank you and praise you in your Son's name. Amen.